Today is one of those days we needed Mike McGreal's snow shovel for those who are snowed in. So if you do have your snow shovel, pull it out. And I'm glad you were able to plow your way out of your parking lots to this edifice this morning. Well, a little girl asked her mother, "Where do people come from?" Her mother answered, "God made Adam and Eve, and they had children, and that's how all mankind was made." A couple of days later, she asked her father the same question. The father answered, "Many years ago, there were monkeys, which the human race evolved from." Well, the confused girl returned to her mother and said, "Mommy, how is it possible that you told me that we were created by God and Daddy said we came from monkeys?" The mother answered, "Well, dear, it's very simple. I told you my side of the family and your father told you about his." I found that was funny. All right, oh, here we go. Well, our text this morning, which brings us to the end of this series of You Are Loved by God, and continuing through the Advent season, which is really basically about God's love for humanity. And our text comes from the book of Hosea, chapter 1, and I'll combine with some verses from chapter 2. And this is the word of the Lord. "The word of the Lord came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reign of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, during the reign of Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, 'Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord.' So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, 'Call him Jezreel, because I will punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I'll put an end to the kingdom of Israel.' Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, 'Call her Loruhamah, which means not loved, for I will no longer show love to Israel that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show love to Judah, and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by hoses and hosemen, but I, the Lord, their God, will save them.' After she had weaned Loruhamah, Gomer had a son. Then the Lord said, 'Call him Loami, which means not my people, for you are not my people, and I'm not your God.' Therefore," and this is a passage from our second chapter in Hosea, verses 14, "Therefore I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back our vineyards and will call the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will respond as in the days of our youth, as in the day she came up out of Egypt. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. I will remove the names of Baals from our lips. No longer will their names be invoked. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. I will say to those called not my people, 'You are my people,' and they will say, 'You are my God.'" Heavenly Father, your word is so rich, so profound, so amazing. And thank you for this text in the book of Hosea that really reminds us of our story. So would you speak to us? Give me coherency, and may my words be understood. May I diminish so that you may increase. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. See, the Bible is filled with so many stories that would win an Oscar award at any given time. You just need to pick up on any story and you see the reality of life as we know it. But hidden in these incredible stories is the amazing theme of God's love for us. The book of Hosea is the first in a list of prophets that most scholars refer to as minor prophets. But the message by these prophets is anything but minor. In this story of Hosea, God used a cruel illustration to paint a picture of the spiritual depravity and condition of the people of Israel who had committed spiritual adultery against God. God sent Hosea to the northern kingdom of Israel to warn them of God's hatred towards sin and to tell them of the coming judgment. But he also sent Hosea to tell them of God's unconditional love for them and what love that never gives up really looks like. So the people of Israel had prostituted themselves spiritually with foreign gods. They worshipped idols, and God instructed Hosea to marry a prostitute who would treat him just like Israel was treating God. This is an incredible story and a very painful and a sad story. And as I reflected on these words from the book of Hosea, I saw a sharp contrast between the context of the words of betrothal in chapter 2 and, of course, to my engagement to my wife of faith. The woman to whom I proposed was chaste and faithful and a pure bride. She was beautiful to me, and I knew that she loved me and that she had no other lovers. On the contrary, the people to whom God is making his proposal are considered harlots, prostitutes, and spiritual adulterers in every sense of the word. Though God had loved them again and again and even declared his love for them, they had broken their covenant with God, but God's love for them is unrequited and not reciprocated at all. In chapter 5 of Hosea, verse 4, we see an accurate description of these people of Israel. And this is what he says: their deeds do not permit them to return to their God. A spirit of prostitution is in their hearts. They do not acknowledge the Lord. The ESV reads, "For the spirit of whoredom is within them, and they do not love the Lord." The sins of Israel had become an epidemic. The nation was like a brothel, and therefore, the shocking spiritual state demanded a shocking spiritual statement. Look at what we read in Hosea chapter 1, verses 2. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." The New Living Translation reads, "Go and marry a prostitute so that some of our children will be conceived in prostitution." This will illustrate how Israel has acted acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods. I mean, this is tough language, but it is the reality of what's happening to the people of Israel. They have rejected God and they've turned to worshiping idols. An author by the name of Ray Ortlund wrote a book called Wodom, God's Unfaithful Wife. Later on, its publishers changed the title and simply called it God's Unfaithful Wife. Wodom or prostitution are not pleasant descriptions. Yet for Hosea to bring the word of God to God's unfaithful wife, the Lord made Hosea experience the heartache of Israel's unfaithfulness. Hosea had to walk in God's shoes to proclaim God's word to a rebellious people. Just as our Lord had to bear our sins in his body before he could save us from our rebellion, the same thing was happening here in this text when it comes to Hosea. I have no idea what went through Hosea's mind when he heard the word of the Lord. But anyway, Hosea obeyed the Lord. And so Hosea took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, as his wife, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel. Now, Jezreel is a word which would echo in Jewish ears the way Gettysburg or Pearl Harbor or 9/11 echoes in our ears. Jezreel brought back memories of bloodshed, and the word literally means God scattered, meaning that judgment was coming to the house of Israel, and they will soon be scattered in different parts of the world. And in chapter 1 of Hosea, more children are born to Gomer. John Piper writes, when you are married to a harlot, you can never know for sure. Can you imagine Hosea's grief each time he realized that his wife had been unfaithful? Put yourself in Hosea's shoes. She broke the covenant. And how easy it could have been for Hosea to throw his hands and say, enough, I am done with you. Yet, God's people were no different than Gomer. They chased other lovers by loving and worshiping idols. It could have been easy for God to end the Mosaic covenant and throw up his hands and say, enough, I am done with you. But God's love never gives up. God gave Hosea a love for his wife that compelled him to buy her back from the slave market after all that she had done. Verse 6 says, Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, call her Lo Ruhamah, which means no loved and no mercy, for I will no longer show love to Israel that I should at all forgive them. God says, I will have mercy no more on the house of Israel. I will not forgive them at all. But in verse 9, we read, Gomer conceived again and bore a son to Hosea. And the Lord said, call his name Lo-Ammin, which means not my people, for Israel are not my people, and I'm not your God. You can see that God is really frustrated by these people because time after time again, they go back to worshiping their idols. They forgot who they were and they forgot what God had done to them. But at this point, I also want to realize that Hosea is set about 30 years before the Assyrians advance and they take Israelites as captive and destroy the northern kingdom. And here we read, the Lord said to the Israelites, you are not my people. I will have no mercy any longer. But thank God, the story does not end here. right? After God utters this dreadful words, "You are not my people, and I'm not your God," he gives them a promise of hope. Amen? God does not give up on Israel at all. Remember the promise? "Yet the number of children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea." God has not forgotten his promise to Abraham. And in the place where it said of them, "You are not my people," it shall be said to them, "Children of the living God." For a people who had been so faithless, a people whose sins had risen to such great heights that God himself said, "I no longer recognize you as my people." How can it be that God will still love such wicked people? Because that's the nature of God. He goes beyond our human understanding and definition of love, for his love is limitless. No wonder the Apostle Paul prayed that we may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. We read that last week. And to know this love that surpasses all knowledge. It was the Puritan John Owen who said, "The greatest sorrow and burden you can lay on the Father, the greatest unkindness you can do to him, is not to believe that he loves you." We should be astonished at the goodness of God and stunned that he would bother to call us by name. Our mouths wide open at his love, bewildered that at this very moment we are standing on a holy ground. If you ever wonder if or how much your Heavenly Father loves you, just read this book of Hosea. God loves us so much that he will not let any of us continue to sin and get away with it anyway. So in Hosea chapter 2, verses 13, the Lord says, "I will punish her for the days she burned incense for the Baals. She decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after her lovers. But me she forgot," declares the Lord. The Lord is saying, "I am not going to let you forget me without consequences." God loves us so much that we will not let us continue sinning and get away with it. Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 through, shows God's intent in disciplining us as his people. He disciplines us so that we may come back to the point where we say, "Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces. He will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, and that we may live in his presence." Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. That's the point of discipline. Another translation reads it. This is the same thing we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 10. "But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness." His discipline brings renewal in our hearts. And our response is, let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. God loves us, and his love transforms us, and his grace is designed to make us into his image and into his likeness. Jerry Bridges writes, God's unfailing love for us is an object fact affirmed over and over again in the scriptures. It is true whether we believe it or not. Our doubts do not destroy God's love, nor does our faith create it. It originates in the very nature of God, who is love, and it flows to us through our union with his beloved Son. This is the place you say amen. Amen. God loves us so much that we will not let us get away with sinning. You might be in a position right now where you feel like there are sharp edges everywhere you go. You keep bumping into thorns. You want to go your own way, but every time you try, you feel miserable. This is because God won't let you out of his mind. I tried it. Never worked. Also, let us remember that God's love to us is so incredible. It's so much that he will not let us stay at a cold distance. Hosea chapter 2 verses 14 says, therefore, behold, I will allure her. God uses the language of romance here in this particular book, and he uses the language of marriage. I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. Here, wilderness refers to a place where God can be alone with us. Therefore, behold, I will allure her. And immediately before verse 14, we read about Israel's running after other idols and forsaking God. But God says, I will allure you. God does not say, therefore, I will divorce her. It's the end of this relationship. No. He says precisely the opposite of what you would expect. Right now, she has no desire to return to me, but I will allure her. I'm going to bring her back. That, friends, is nothing but grace and mercy. You see, the very sin that incites God's wrath also inspires his mercy for us. It's not because of our righteousness. It's not because of our faithfulness to God that God draws us to himself. Rather, it's because of his mercy. He pities us in our wretchedness, and he loves us even when we are playing the harlot against him. God is speaking to his faithless bride and saying to us, I love you. I love you. You see, God's love for us is not dependent on what we do, but on Christ's righteousness. There's nothing we can do to impress God. For I will remove the names of Baals in our mouth, and they shall be remembered by name no more. Amen. God is saying to us through Hosea, the price of God's love for his people has never been up for negotiations. This is not the Secretary of Defense writing here, but the God of the universe who's saying there are no negotiations. I love you. I love you. I love you. It is based on one condition. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And we love him because he first loved us. What an assuring word this morning. God says to us, I will be a faithful husband to you. Look at verse 20. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God is saying to us, I will not keep at a distance. He's saying to us, the companionship of my spirit will be with you always to the very end of the age. God wants you to know this warm-hearted, this tender, this faithful, this intimate, this covenantal and enduring and undying love this morning. This soul-transforming love that drives the idols out of our hearts, and it will not tolerate a rival. If you don't know this love, I encourage you to tell him that you want to know his love. Tell him that you want to experience his love in Christ. If you don't know this love, I encourage you to surrender to him and invite him in. Every sin in our lives that stems from a failure to recognize that we are loved with an everlasting love. If you know that, then you'll always come back to God because he loves you, and dwell in him because you know his love is not limited. Cornelius Van Til writes, "The atheist who curses God does so using the breath God gives him. God sustains his life and fills his lungs with breath, which he uses to curse God. When we sin, we demonstrate ungratefulness for all the blessing God gives us. He's given us his breath. He's given us life. He's given us gifts and relationships. And when we use those things to disobey God, we show profound unfaithfulness towards him." At the end of the story of this book of Hosea, God told Hosea to do the unthinkable. He tells him to redeem his wife who was being sold as a slave. Hosea must have cried out to God, "She's thrown my life away. Why would I need to go redeem her? Why should I buy her back when she was already mine?" But Hosea was a faithful and an obedient servant. Gomer was an unfaithful wife. God is the faithful lover of our souls. We are often faithless and prone to wander. Robert Robinson pens these words in the song, "Come, Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts. Hosea and Gomer's story is the story of God and Israel. It is also our story. When we found ourselves stuck in chains of insecurity, in discontentment, and in fear, God freed us. When we threw God's love away, he redeemed us. When Hosea bought Gomer back, he did so with 15 shekels of silver and 5 bushels of barley. Could you imagine? When God redeemed us, he paid the ultimate price with the blood of his son. Gomer, for sure, did not deserve to be redeemed. She was a prostitute whose behavior did not merit such mercy. Israel did not deserve God's faithful betrothal. Their unfaithfulness did not merit such mercy. But before you judge them, our sin does not merit such mercy. But why did God redeem us? Why did Jesus pay the ultimate price for your redemption, for my redemption, for our redemption? Why does God continue to give his unconditional love to a people who are continually throwing it away? It's not because we deserve it. It's because his mercy demands it. Aren't you glad this morning that God does not treat us as our sins deserve? God chose you and he loves you. This love is your story. It's my story. Even if you are faithless, he remains faithful. If you are enslaved, God will buy you back. If you are lost, God will find you. If you are ashamed, God will cover you. If you wander off, God will bring you home. If you give up on him, God will not give up on you. Through the story of Hosea, God tenderly touches your arm and whispers, "Come home. My love sets you free." And as we begin the Advent season, God reminds us that at a manger in Bethlehem, God entered the slave market where all of us were putting ourselves for auction, prostituting ourselves with other gods and idols and all kinds, and following philosophies and traditions and patterns of this world. But Jesus was born to redeem us, and he died on the cross to pay the full price of our redemption. He bought us back. The story of Hosea is the scandal of God's love for you and me. God is faithful to us, his people, even when we do not love him. His love for us is not conditional. Consider this. He deeply loves us. Oh, what a love. Ponder the achievement of God. He doesn't condone our sin, nor does he compromise his standard. He doesn't ignore our rebellion, nor does he relax his demands. Rather, he then dismisses our sin. He assumes our sin and incredibly sentences himself. God's holiness is honored. Our sin is punished, and we are redeemed. God does what we cannot do, so we can be what we dare not dream. Perfect before God. Thank you for whoever left that little book downstairs. That came from Mark Lucado. Would you stand up as we begin Advent season and just thank God for this incredible love that surpasses all other kinds of love? Really, when you try to search, you can't understand it. Why would God do it? It's because we are his people, and he came to be born so that he would take our sins away, so that when Jesus looks at you and looks at me, he sees Christ. That's an amazing principle, amazing truth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for loving me. Those of us who need prayers can come and receive.